Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg. I'm here with Tom and Melissa Gould. And we're going to devote today's show to your questions. Some of you have emailed in with a question that you'd like us to discuss. If you prefer to call in live, you can do that at 1-888-627-6008. And we'll read the questions, and you can call in with the questions, and we'll discuss it. And maybe we don't know any more than you do, but we'll kick it around. We can make some educated guesses. Maybe we'll learn from you. So, I should mention, I don't have much to promote in terms of the foundation, but there is a Holidays Past raffle coming up in December. You can win for $5, you can win a reading with one of five Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. So if you go to the Forever Family Foundation website in the events, you'll see Holidays Past Raffle. Click on the link, it'll show you all the mediums, take you to a page how you could buy. And as they say, you got to be in it to win it. And that's how we, these days, that's pretty much how we raise our money, one of the big ways. So support us, and maybe you'll win a reading in the process. So why don't we get right into some questions? When I say questions, I'm talking about questions related to the afterlife in some way, you know. So it could be, that's a pretty broad spectrum of things. One that came in a little while ago, it said, my question pertains to my mother. She was an amazing hospice nurse who didn't believe in the afterlife. Does she believe now? And how can I begin to know and feel that she is still around us and is okay? So the first thing is, you know, it's somewhat surprising because, you know, most of the hospice nurses that we talk to tell us, you know, that they're convinced that there's an afterlife based upon the experiences that they witness, you know, among their patients. But what I would say is, does she know now? Well, if there's an afterlife, and you know, you physically die and you open your eyes and you still exist, yeah, you believe in it. So it's not a question if she doesn't believe in it. It's either there is no afterlife and it's a moot point, or there is an afterlife and yes, she believes it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't know how we can expand on that one.
Yeah. But I mean, and as far as how can I begin to know and feel that she's still around us and is okay? That's a tougher question, you know, I can certainly sympathize with that. I don't know. You may want to pitch in on that. And I like the way you said begin to know and feel, because I think that's on target. There has to be something that makes you believe, you know, as opposed to something that's just happening and you're not really sure. So, you know, other than that, I, you know, just keep your, all your senses going, you know, maybe your mom will come to you in a dream. Maybe you'll see some amazing synchronicity. Maybe something will play along with the lights. I'm waiting for all these things to happen right now myself. There's no easy answer to it. A lot of people find meditation helpful. I know, Tom, you sent me a nice relaxing music, you know, to try to get into that altered state of consciousness. So, I mean, there are many ways. I don't know if you have anything to add to that, guys.
Well, I think that the fact that she's a listener here, you know, already we know she's open to all of this. And what we've heard in our afterlife discussion groups from some of our members is that often something a friend will tell you resonates with you, and it links, it might link to the mother. So she shouldn't feel it all has to just be her own observations, but to listen to certain things she's also being told. What would you add, Tom?
Yeah, I think they, unfortunately, we don't tend to get the apparition that shows up in the bedroom. Some people do, but for most people, and certainly my personal experience, I've never experienced anything that I come face to face with a discarnate loved one. The signs come through in small ways, coincidences, if you will, synchronicities, that, you know, you're thinking about somebody, you turn on the car radio and there comes up the song that was their favorite song or was meaningful. You see a license plate with their birthday on it or their initials, little things like that. And I've also been, somebody has, if you're anxious for these kind of messages and to know that they're real or that they are from your loved one, I've been told many times that keeping a journal, when something happens like that, like you, our favorite song was on. So you write it down, heard my favorite song. And every time you see one of these coincidences or synchronicities, you write it down. And then you go back months later or a year later and you start to look at your journal, you can see a pattern. Oh my gosh, there has been some sort of communication. I mean, is it satisfying? I'm not sure. For me and for my family members, especially my family members who did not at all believe in any of this, it came down to a mediumistic reading. When a medium who's got real quality comes through with the reading, telling you things that they couldn't possibly know, or they couldn't have been reading your mind, and then they tell you things that that just jar you. I remember specifically my brother, a doctor, you know, the scientist who you know, wants to see all the proof and that sort of thing, and after an hour long medium reading, he turned to me and he said, well, you know, there's just no other explanation. And now, that was good 10 years ago, and now he's converses with me as if he's, you know, been on the same page all this time. So that's the real turnaround. Unless, you know, if you looking for things like a dream visit sometime, you know, that I've had a couple of those that are so vivid that you know that you're getting something other than just a dream.
Expand on that, Tom, because that was one of the questions that was given to me. How do I know if my dream was an actual visitation or just a dream?
Well, again, time will tell if you had it in your journal or something like that. But I have found with the, I guess there are two very specific dream visits I have had. And I could tell you exactly what the circumstances of that dream. And this has been, one of them was easily 15 years ago and the other was 10 years ago. Actually, it's been more. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking almost 20 years ago for these dreams that I've had. And yeah, it's as clear as day now what happened in the dream. And it's hard to explain. It's kind of you'll know it when you see it kind of thing. That it, if it happens, it consumes you. You wake up and you're thinking about it. And I'm also a person who does not retain my dreams. I know there, in the foundation and the grief retreats, we tell how you can better yourself at that, but I just don't have that discipline. I wake up in the morning, I get up and I go. Sometimes I remember a dream, most times I don't. But the dream visits, I remember vividly. So
you know, I could interject with that too, because I recently shared with Bob, sometimes it isn't the whole dream. But for me, it was like two words, two things out of the whole dream. Couldn't remember the dream, but two parts of it stayed with me. And I did write them down. Well, I don't remember. I think I grabbed my phone and jotted them down in the notes part of my phone. And,
yeah.
You know, and sometimes I'm able to tell you about it, Tom. But as I had shared with Bob, too, you know, it was just something that stayed with me. And I kept thinking, well, what does it mean? What does it mean? Then I found the meaning for it. So it doesn't have to be a full, whole blown dream, but just jot down any parts of it that just for some odd reason stay with you.
So here's one that people have asked before, along the same vein. The person lost her lover last year. And she says, I know he's around me. He's encouraging me each step of the way. It helps me to know he's here. What she wanted to know is, she read that by thinking of them too much, that can tie them to the earth and they can't progress. And wanted to know our thoughts about that. It's a valid question. Personally, I don't think by thinking of them too much, I think they would appreciate that more than hold them back. A common thing that people ask is that, do they see our grief, and does that not necessarily hold them back, but for lack of a better word, you know, disappoint them or make them sad? I kind of think that they don't have the same emotions anymore that were the physical emotions. So I don't really believe that either. But I remember that was one of the coping mechanisms that I used to try to use after my daughter passed, you know, saying, well, you know, if she saw me moping around constantly, you know, that might be upsetting to her, you know. So I used to use that as sort of like a motivating thing. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I don't think that we're tying them to the physical world. I think they're going to do what they need to do. And I don't think that we're holding them back. I mean, you guys think the same?
A couple of thoughts on that. Number one, I refer to, as we have often on this program, to the Seth readings, the Seth Chronicles. Seth, a discarnate who was channeling information to a human writing this down, and what he said that your soul is kind of like an octopus in the sense that you've got tentacles, so you can be here on Earth in one of your manifestations, but your soul can also be in six other places at once. So it's not a matter of, because you on this planet are at the end of one of the tentacles, if you will, you're not tying down the soul by any means. So I fully think that, one of the things that I have found to be a belief is that love is the energy that powers the universe, and the love that we have, that we create here on this plane, is a fuel to the other side, and our loved ones in particular. I believe the more love you show them, the more you're keeping their tanks full and allowing them to do all that they need to do on the other side, and they're being powered by your love. So I would recommend, don't think that you're holding anybody back by showing their love and, you know, chanting their name if you want. Number one. And then number two, if they're sad because you're grieving, yeah, they'd rather see you happy, and they certainly, if you're going to call them and you're sitting at home moping and say, oh, you know, come to me, yeah, they'll come to you, but they'd rather you'd be in a party dancing and saying, hey, come dance with me. They would rather be doing that. However, the big picture is what we have to look at. The soul is eternal. Our physical presence here on the earth is, in contrast, just a blink of an eye. So, yeah, they see us not feeling good now. They see us in grief. They know that they're mourning for them, and they want to make you, you know, feel better. They, you know, the messages that mediums tend to send is they want you to get on and enjoy the life that you have left, because they know that in a blink of an eye, you're going to be with them. I mean, a blink of an eye could be 20 years, 30 years, 2 years, who knows, but years mean nothing. Time means nothing. So they know that your souls will be able to communicate one-on-one very shortly. So yeah. I don't think you should be telling yourself, oh my gosh, I'm grieving, I shouldn't be grieving. No, you should be grieving because you're grieving. I
mean, you love them.
You love them, you miss them, it hurts like hell. So yeah, embrace it, say yes, I hurt like hell. And you know, one day you'll be able to get up in the morning and do things and not be shackled by the grief. But there's no quick fix, I'm afraid.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking at one that came in here. I won't read the whole thing, but it has to do, this person lost a loved one. She lost a lot of loved ones, and she's having issues with the phones. A call showed up on her cell that originated in her house, and you know, it sounds like one of these movies. Yeah. But it's she, you know, she's wondering whether any one of her loved ones could be manipulating the phone lines because there was nobody home in the house when she got that. And she's had a few, most notably by well, you know, her mom was the most notable loss, you know, that she's had. So she also says, I've been extremely interested in the afterlife, but afraid I'd freak out if I ever actually saw someone. Maybe this is their way of not freaking me out. Well, yeah, I mean, on that point, yeah, a lot of people, even people that are not only thinking about the afterlife, people that are firm believers in the afterlife, describe having some sort of an encounter where they see their loved one and they get upset for some reason. I understand it, but it's really silly because it's really, they're visiting you, so why, you know, freak out? And as far as getting a phone call like that, you can look, there are some books written about that. You could check out Dr. Callum Cooper's book, Phone Calls from the Dead, and he goes into, in detail, a lot of research on people that have just that very thing. So it's not strange. Don't be freaked out by it, and I hope it happens to more people.
Your discarnate energy is that, just that energy. So it can relate and manipulate energy here in this world, which of course electricity and phone lines are that way. I have two examples of that. My mother passed in October of 2010, and it was January 2011 I was talking about my mom to my wife, who had just walked in the room, and my cell phone rang, and I went to pick it up, and there was nobody there. And on the screen, first of all, the time was 11:11, and the date was 1/11/11. So it was 11:11 on 1/11/11, and the phone rang, and it said, person unknown or unavailable or some or information unavailable. So, and nobody, of course, was on the phone. And I immediately said that was my mom. Another time I was up in Maine and I was on a radio show, and a friend of mine in New York, I'm a songwriter, and a friend of mine in New York, this fellow Jerry Duggar, had recorded one of my songs for his first CD. And I was very excited about it, and I had an advanced copy of the song, so I played it on the radio up there in Maine. And, you know, I was excited about that. And shortly after, when we were taking a break, the door opened, and one of the staff members of the radio station came in and said, "Oh yeah, this guy heard Jerry singing, and he called up and he said, told me to say hi to Jerry when I saw him." He was a bartender from one of the clubs that he worked at, and I thought, well, that's nice, you know, somebody up here in Maine saying hi to Jerry. So when I got home, I went to Jerry and I told him, I was up in Maine and this guy called in on the radio and wanted me to say hi. And when I told him who it is, his jaw hit the floor, because the guy had died a month earlier. And so not only is they calling the phone, but they're actually talking to the person on the other end of the phone. I thought that was amazing.
Yep.
Why are some people near death told that it's not their time yet? We hear constantly from near-death experiences, because they're able to tell us, because they did come back, and they all say that they don't all say, but a majority of them say that they were told that it's not their time. Very often they're disappointed by that. I don't know the answer to that. I can't figure it out. I will say that from what... of course, we've read extensively about this, but what I experienced with Fran was that near the end, she did tell us that she saw a line and they wouldn't let her cross. And that greatly disappointed her, because obviously, she was suffering, and she knew there was something on the other side of the line. And you know, when I think about that, that's the other things that I go through. The very fact that there was a line is comforting to me, because, I mean, you know, Fran was very perceptive. You know, she always told the truth. And if there was a line, that means that the line was, there's something on the other side of the line.
Right.
So, so the very fact that she saw the line, I was happy about that. I wasn't happy that she was suffering and that she couldn't cross it. But the fact that there was that demarcation and there was something on the other side, she saw it. We know she saw it. She described things, you know, from it. So I think that at least if you look at it from that perspective, it can be comforting. But as to why people are told, I know the different spiritual explanations, you know, about lessons still, it's not that time. And you wonder how many lessons are left when you're at that end stage. But I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the flip answer is, why are they told that it's not their time? Is because it's not their time. And they're being told, it's not your time. we've heard that you have a contract before you get here, the life contract, that you agree to the life you're going to live, you agree to who your parents are going to be, you agree to... any number of hardships that you might face before you even get here. And I guess you do agree that, you know, when your time is up, you know, like if you're going to be a child when you go, or if you're going to be 90 when you go, you've agreed to that ahead of time. You know, some people, of course, well, I don't know if of course, but some people who decide, well, I'm not going to wait till 90, I'm going now because I've had it with this place, and you commit suicide. But who's to say that you didn't agree to that either? You know, this is the area that we can only speculate about.
I often think that we do not know how reincarnation works, and I don't believe anyone ever felt a soul instantly reincarnated, but there is, you know, reason to think if a baby is to be born and a soul wants to be able to enter that child, and the child isn't here yet, so the soul has to kind of wait, and, you know, it has to be that perfect pairing up. But I know that's far-fetched, but we don't know. It's, you know, it could be a possibility.
What books would be a good starting point for someone who was curious about the afterlife and just started to open up to the possibility? So I guess for somebody that's kind of on the fence and just, you know, is opening, I mean, you don't want to get something really too heavy, but I would recommend, if you go on Fervor Family Foundation website, there's a tab that says recommended books, and it's by category. I just took a peek at it before we went on the air, and a couple that I might just throw out there, you know, Surviving Death by Leslie Kane, a relatively new book, and then some old books, which we've talked about, Testimony of Light by Helen Graves. Is There an Afterlife by Professor David Fontana, who's on the other side now himself, but it's like an encyclopedia of all the evidence, but it's user-friendly. And Opening Heaven's Door by Patricia Pearson. Those are just a few, but there's tons on the websites. You might check that out. Back to some other questions. Well, here's one, I guess, asking us.
I've already asked a couple.
When you die, do you want to reincarnate? So I guess they're asking us if we want to reincarnate. And, you know, assuming that reincarnation is real and assuming that we have a choice, I'm not particularly crazy about reincarnating. I'm figuring I had my run. I had enough. and the opportunities seem to be more plentiful on the other side. I mean, I had this physical existence to learn what I needed to learn. So I think my personal preference is I don't feel a need to come back, assuming I have that choice. I don't know how you guys feel.
Well, I've mentioned this to some of our FFF friends that I'm enjoying the antics of the squirrels in our backyard, and they seem pretty adept at doing whatever they want. So if I'm coming back, I don't think I'm going to choose a human form and go through all of that human emotion again, but just a carefree squirrel. And that's my choice. If indeed I must come back, I'm with you though, Bob, if it's not a, you know, must do, I think I'd rather explore the other side.
Yeah. Well, you raised the other interesting. Is human consciousness different than animal consciousness? So, can people come back? You know, as animals. I don't know the answer to that, but
or a treat.
I believe that you can come back as anything living. You of course know the limitations, but I read some book where they spoke about coming back as a tree and just living in the forest for hundreds of years, some of these, if that's a choice, I guess. And of course, yeah, if you come back as a squirrel, you're not going to be have any cognitive skills whatsoever other than, you know, finding food. But I, you know, personally, I'd come back as a house cat and eat that squirrel.
to be the tree and I'd be sitting up on one of your branches.
Oh.
Nesting yes. The branches.
Oh my gosh, this is getting this is a family show.
So you know, we're getting as you know, live feed of questions as they come in. So one just came in a couple of seconds ago. What do you think life after death actually is like? How do souls spend their time? Do you have any insights into this? Well, but you know, that's a good question because it's very often asked. I mean, people go to mediums all the time, and the good mediums are very good at giving you evidence, but very rarely, if ever, do they talk about what are our loved ones doing on the other side? What is life like? What do they spend? You know, do they eat? Do they have shelter? Do they, you know, engage in, you know, in different sports and stuff like that? So the only information we have are these mostly older books, you know, where through automatic writing and through channeling, where people on the other side write volumes about what happens there, and some of them paint a pretty interesting picture that because we're entities of thought, we could manifest anything that we want. So
right.
if we will really love the house that we lived in, we'll manifest maybe the same house. If we love to read, we might manifest a library. If we wanted to go to Mars, we could, by thought, just, you know, to transmit ourselves over, you know, to Mars. So I think it's that world of thought and the world of energy sort of makes it possible. It sounds silly in physical terms, but you know, then, you know, there's really no need. You don't have a physical body, so would you eat? You know, well, only if you love something here.
Yeah.
You want to see what it was like, you manifest it. So we it's all speculation, we don't know, but there's plenty of reports that you know, paint these images of beautiful scenery and colors that are more vibrant than you can describe in language, and sounds and music that with tones and melodies you never heard before. All your senses, you know, are amplified to the nth degree. Paints a nice picture.
Yeah, well, my father came through in a reading, and when the reading was about done, he said, "You see that jet ski out there on the water? I'm going out there. I'm going to ride around on that. It's great. I can ride around all day with this guy, and he never knows I'm there."
Yeah, that's true. Well, he might, you know, but probably wouldn't. So, yeah, we don't know. I guess at some point we'll find out. But I think it's sort of... you know, it's comforting to think that there are many, many different opportunities, you know, to, you know, that you can't take advantage of here. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, we'll have lots more of your questions, and we'll be tackling those. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, they are present. Available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And we're back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio, and we're taking your calls tonight and addressing questions that you emailed us, and we'll get right back into it. As I mentioned, some of you were just emailing as the show was going on. Here's another one. Any suggestions on building psychic and or medium abilities? Is everyone born with these, or are these special gifts for some? We've talked about this a lot before. You know, is mediumship or psychic ability, is it a something that we're born with? Can it be learned? Is it a skill? Is it an ability? I don't know. It does seem that we know that many people, which is surprising, like a lot of the mediums we find, there seems to be a genetic component to their abilities. You know, their close family members, their mothers or their fathers or their grandmothers or their siblings have similar abilities, and it's not a few. I think it's the majority of them. So I think there's something to be said for being born with that ability. On the other hand, we know a lot of mediums, as you do, who started very late, in life. You know that most of them started early, but some turned out to be excellent practitioners, and they didn't, they suppressed any ability that they had. Maybe that's the reason they had the ability, but they didn't embrace it until maybe their 20s or even later. So so I think you have to have a nugget of strong ability, but it's certainly something that you could build upon and train the way an athlete might train, to be a professional or a musician. I think you have to have some innate ability, and then you could study and learn and take lessons and practice. And so what do you guys think?
Well, I'll just be quick about it. I just think having the interest and really working on that interest, I know that – Fran and I and some of our other close friends had gone to several trainings with mediums who worked with us. And what I was really astounded by was that the ability to read another person, to me, I thought that would be such a wow moment, but it was so incredibly subtle that we were guided to, well, just tell me what you're feeling. Just simple as that. Tell me what you're feeling. It's like, well, my first thought is, and I, whatever I said, the person related to it. And it was like, all right, well, tell me something else. And I really thought, you know, the skies would open up if you suddenly had that ability to communicate. But it was just so incredibly subtle. Yeah. So you go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I think you are born with the ability, because you hear stories of children who are more sensitive. And unfortunately, I think it's societal that they are scared out of it or told that they, you know, oh, that's just this or that's just that. And they're not encouraged to increase that skill. But you are right as far as, yeah, if anybody can do it. And as you mentioned, we do know mediums who didn't seem to have it initially, but just had the desire to put in the time and the practice and have developed mediumship. So it is possible to do that. It takes a lot of work on the one hand. On the other hand, yeah, a lot of the mediums we know, it wasn't that they said, oh, I think I want to be a medium. No, they couldn't get away from it. The spirits could tell that they could communicate, and they started lining up and saying, you're communicating. And a lot of them resisted. And when they resisted, the spirits kept coming around and showing them stuff they didn't want to see until they finally said, okay, I'll do this. You know, so yeah, there's two sides to that story.
Before you launch into another question, Bob, I had one that I wanted us to touch upon. I believe we've done this before, but I couldn't immediately come up with the answer. So this person asks, how do I know if the medium was actually communicating with my loved one or just reading me psychically? So I know we talk about evidence that.
Yeah. So if they're reading you psychically, certainly you have to be open to that possibility. You know, if it's in your memory that they could extract that. But what about when they are giving you information that you didn't know? So if I'm getting a medium reading, and then the medium tells me some striking thing, and then after the reading is over, I find out that when I invest do some research that it's true, it kind of discounts the argument that the medium was reading my mind because I wasn't aware of the fact to begin with. Of course, some people take that further and say, well, that's the super psi hypothesis, you know, that there, even though I wasn't aware of it, the information was in a vast information field and the medium was extracting it from that field of information, which in and of itself flies in the face of materialist science, because that shouldn't be possible, you know, anyways. But you know, I would tend to think that that it's more logical if the medium was communicating with a discarnate than, you know, reading some information field. So I think that's one way we know.
And also I have noticed in readings that the medium brings through a discarnate, a loved one, and it's not necessarily what they're telling you, but how they're telling you. They capture the personality of your loved ones, and you couldn't do that by reading a mind of your.
That's true. You know, and there's very often there's you know, there are these drop-in communicators where
somebody pops into a reading, a discarnate that is unknown to the sitter or the medium, and then starts giving information that the medium doesn't know who the discarnate is and the sitter doesn't know, but then again they find out that everything they said was true. So, you know, there was just the drop-in was taking advantage of the situation to communicate, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard that a lot of times where the sitter, you know, is telling somebody at work about their reading, and then all of a sudden they're getting, that was the person that the discarnate came through for. I mean, how else do you know that?
Yeah, and that was one of the other questions. Why did someone I don't know come in during a reading? So yeah. You go to work the next day and you tell someone about it and they go, well, wait, that sounds like my brother, you know, or something along those lines. I think the coolest thing that I got to experience, I had taken my mother and my sister to have a reading and they were off in a different room. And I was seated in the living room, but I could overhear what was being said. And both my mom and definitely my sister, even though my mom raised me to believe in all of this, you know, started to question everything. And my sister was always skeptical, but I could hear the medium start to talk about someone named Kevin. And Kevin was who my daughter was dating. And I knew that the relationship was getting serious. My mom and my sister didn't. And I could hear the medium say to them, well, who's Kevin? Who's Kevin? I'm hearing love and marriage, love and marriage. And my mom and my sister are going, I don't know any Kevin. I don't know any Kevin. And then afterwards, when the reading was over and they come out to meet me and I go, Kevin, that was, you know, Marin's guy, and my mother said, oh, she was just reading your mind.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even in the room.
Yeah, that's the common, people jump at that all the time. A couple that came in, going back to our previous conversation of what the afterlife was like, he writes that Swedenborg said that it in the afterlife was just like life here, but much better.
Yeah.
This one was directed to me, saying, my wife communicates with our son through blinking lights, to yes and no questions. And they're answered for her. And he wanted to know if Fran has communicated with me through signs in other ways. And so far, no. I'm on the outlook, on the look for them. But I will say that a close friend of ours is very proficient in collecting electronic voice phenomena. Oh. And she has been asking, doing sessions often and asking, recording, and then asking Fran a series of pointed questions. And there was one where she asked Fran, what was the name of the foundation that you started? And I heard faintly but clearly Forever Family Foundation.
Whoa!
So that's a, what else? It's a pointed question with a difficult answer.
Yeah.
That gives me some comfort because she was specifically asked and she specifically answered. And normally, as you know, the EVPs are usually one or two words. It's kind of difficult to say Forever Family Foundation. So, and there were a few other things. There was one where she asked what it was like, going back to the question tonight, what it was like where she was, and the answer was heaven.
Uh-huh.
You know, so... which something like Fran typically wouldn't say, but now that she's there, it was probably, you know, heaven-like. So those things are good. But as far as the other stuff, I mean, I know I was very blessed to have tens and tens and tens of dream visits, you know, from my daughter.
I kind of think that maybe I don't sleep much these days. So Fran's probably on the other side, like screaming, you know, schmuck, you got to go to sleep for me to get through to you.
She doesn't blame you, Bob, because she'll know once you have that visit, you're going to just stay in bed.
Yeah, you know, and I purposely try not to take anything because I know that can suppress, a visitation, you know, if you're blitzed out, you know. So yeah. It's okay. I'll watch Netflix. I'll do just fine.
People who have near-death experiences to a person come back and exclaim about just how beautiful it is, because you can't even believe it, how beautiful it is, which I can understand, because we're limited by our these physical eyes that we have and ears and all that we cannot physically take in the beauty that is in this universe.
Yeah. And that's why consistently all the near-death experiences, you know, when asked to describe what happened, they just say it's ineffable, you know, that they cannot be put into the there aren't words in the English language that can match up with the experiences that they're having. I'm just looking, I know we don't have much time. I was looking to see if there's a short one. this one says, I suffered a lot of tragedy in my life. Do you think it's because I chose to return to a life like this, or am I being punished? What does shit just happen? So that's an hour's discussion right there.
To be continued.
That could be our subject for the next radio
shit
program.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I tend to think she got it right on the last part, but we can discuss that more. All right. Well, we'll have to save. We have a whole bunch. I know you have a whole bunch there. I have a bunch here, and we'll save it for maybe the next show. And it's good because a lot of people are like us, and they're trying to explore. And it's good to discuss these things, you know. So I like this format. So with that, let me read the global peace prayer that Fran used to end the show with. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, and to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now you guys can take it from there.
Okay, and now it's time to say, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.